Good morning. And it is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I do apologize to you that I don't have you a PowerPoint this morning, but in a way that's a good thing because some of my stuff has changed. So the Lord is in control of all things. And so as we just come here this morning to join together in corporate worship and praise of our Lord and Savior who is worthy today. And so again, I am so glad to see each and every one of you here. If you have your Bibles or your phone apps or your iPads, whatever it is that you use to read the Word of God, if you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at the first verse mainly and the first part of the second verse. And as we look at this, what I like doing, and I think that the Lord reveals more to me in that, is I take and I look at a few verses and I just ask God, you know, I said, Lord, what is it that we can see here? And sometimes it just seems like there's so much more detail that comes out of that than taking and just, you know, just reading through things. And so sometimes we have to stop and just kind of take maybe even word by word or a couple of words at a time and just, you know, and just ask ourselves, exactly what are we looking at here? But before we read the scripture, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity, Lord God, to be able to declare your word. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for each and every person that is here today. And Father, you are so welcome in this place. Father, as we are assembled here today, Lord God, we're not here for any person, Lord God. We are here for you. Lord, you are the reason that we are assembled here. Lord, you are the reason that we sing the songs that we do, Lord, the songs of admiration, Lord, the songs of your faithfulness. Lord, we are here. Lord, I'm here to declare your word. So, Lord, the things that I say today, Lord God, it's not me, Lord, it's you. Father, I'm here to declare, I'm an ordinary man declaring things about an extraordinary God. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, today that you have your way in this service. Lord, I pray, Father, that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you move upon the hearts and minds of the people here today, Lord, that you minister in the way that you know that each person needs. Father, give us strength, Lord God, for each day. Lord, help us to be steadfast upon your word, upon your promises, Lord God, just holding fast, Lord, the promises that you give us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And Father, again, I pray, Lord God, that as I stand here, Lord God, that you speak through me. Lord, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. And so that very first word, the word therefore, and I've heard it said before that when the Bible, when it says therefore, we need to stop and see what are we there for. And so if we look at chapter 11, at the very least, we look and we see the preceding chapter, and it is known to me as the Hall of Faith. That's where God goes through and he lists all of the different people or a lot of different people in the Old Testament and the things that they did and the things that was accomplished through them as they stepped out on faith and walked with God. And so with that, again, that's just the very least that we look at the previous chapter. And if you look at all of the previous parts of the Bible, you see so much stuff that God has done and that has been accomplished when people trust him. And so it says, therefore, because of all of this, and then we see the word since, and it says, since we also have such a large cloud. It's talking about people that walked by faith and experienced God's faithfulness to his word and to his people. We also have such a large cloud of witnesses. that phrase there, when we look, there's some things there that is specific to what we need to understand. You know, in this life that we have, in the race that we have that each one of us needs to run, and we have our own obstacles that we face, it says also we have such a large cloud. And I think that such a large cloud, it speaks to a volume, to a number, to an amount that we look at. Because church, to be honest, when there is hard things that is placed before us, a lot of times because the world seems to be so against us that we don't even want to attempt things. We look at Gideon. Gideon, he started out with 32,000 people going against a huge, huge number that tripled or quadrupled the amount of people that he had. And God told him, he says, you got too many people. And it got down to where Gideon had 300 people, you know, and Gideon, he was like, wait a minute, you know, he said, God, my tribe's the weakest. And he says, and I'm the weakest one in the tribe. And so he laid out the fleece. Because Gideon was hoping that it wouldn't turn out the way that it did. He wasn't wanting to attempt what God was asking him to do. But church, when we look at this and we talk about the race that we have to run and the life that we have to live, church, a lot of us, we would rather be curled up in a dark closet somewhere just hiding from everything. But you know what God says? He says, look at the finish line. Look at all of these people. It's such a great cloud, such a large cloud of witnesses. All of these people, he says, look at the things that they have accomplished. He says, you can do this. You can make it. Such a large cloud. Church, when we look and we see where one or two or three or four has done things, yeah, but, you know, they've got the skill, they've got the talent, they've got the stamina, they've got the muscles, they've got the balance, they've got this, they've got that. But when we look over and we see, and the Bible says, such a large cloud, when we look and we see people of all ages and people of all sizes and people of all talents and people just there is no limit. When we look and we see all of this, then we look at ourselves and say, you know what? I can do this. Because to be honest, we do, we are competitive. And we look and we say, well, if so-and-so can do it, I can do it. Is that not the way we are? That a lot of times that we compare ourselves to others instead of just looking and say, you know what? I can do it because God says I can do it. We look and we say, well, God said I can do it, but... Well, you know what? If so-and-so can do it, I can do it. But also I look, because it says such a large cloud of witnesses. What are they witnesses of? They're witnesses of their race. They are witnesses of their circumstances. They are witnesses of their hardships. They are witnesses also of the guidance and the help they received. Therefore, they are witnesses of God's faithfulness. Church, in chapter 11, that's what God was talking about. He says, by faith. Church, when we step out on by faith, what that is doing is that is us putting our foot out to take a step, not knowing where it's going to land. Not knowing where that step is going to take us. Not knowing what is going to be under our foot when we put it down. Church, by faith this morning, you walked in expecting to hear from God. Church, by faith this morning, you walked in and you sat in that pew expecting that pew to hold you up. Church, there's a lot of things that we do by faith that we don't even realize it. But church, and then there's things that God asks us to do after all of the things that He has done. What we need to do, so we need to look and we need to take advantage of such a large cloud of witnesses around us. A lot of times in the world, and I hate to say this, but in the world, because we have an adversary, that there are times whenever we are set up for failure. That the things that are put on us, that we're not equipped in the way to be able to handle those things. But church, I want to tell you today that that is not who God is. He has already equipped us for success. He has already equipped us for victory. He has already given us the victory. We just have to be like the children going into the promised land. We just got to put forth some effort and show faith and go in there against what we look as insurmountable odds. But God is saying, hey, this is nothing. I've already taken care of this. All I need you to do is show up and watch what happens. Isn't that what he did with Gideon? Gideon and his 300, they show up with their trumpets and their lamps covered with the vases. And then at a certain time, God says, hey, do it. And they blew their trumpets, they screamed, and they broke the vases, and God did the rest. He did. And they won. An amazing victory. Therefore, they are witnesses of God's faithfulness. But also, as we look farther or further in that verse, it talks about surrounding us. Why is there so many and why are they surrounding us? And the reason is because this is a team event. But you know what? It's even more than that. Church is not a team event. It's more than that. It's a family event. And that's what family does. Church, we rally around each other, and we're supposed to encourage and lift each other up and just help to push along. We can make it. I remember when my two girls, when they were in high school and they ran cross country, and I would take them to some of their events when I would get time to, and I really enjoyed, you know, being able to partake in a lot of my children's activities. And so we would go to these cross country events, and if you've never been to one, they've got this track that is mapped out, and it's just what it is. It's a cross country. I think it's a little over 3 miles that they're supposed to run. Sometimes I think maybe even up to five. And if I'm wrong on that, I apologize. It's been a few years. But they would take off and they would run. And as they would get to the finish line, and as some of them would cross the finish line, church, sometimes we have to realize that athletes become spectators when the race is over. And so as they crossed the finish line, I would see these girls, and they would take and they would go down and they would cross the finish line, and then they would come back up the sides, and they were standing there, and as one of their teammates would start to come up, they would start screaming their name and telling them, go, go, go. They was giving them encouragement. And church, that's the way that we're supposed to be. That whenever we finish a part in our life, we need to come back around and we need to recognize the people that are still coming down the track, and we need to start encouraging them and helping them. And church, I can't tell you how many times these girls, I would see them coming around the corner or coming up the hill, and man, they would just be wore out and they're just barely making it. And all of a sudden, they start hearing these people cheering their name and hollering, you can do it, you can do it, come on, come on. And it's almost like a burst of reserve energy, and they would just pick up, and I mean would just take off. In church, many times us in our lives, we get to a place to where we are wore out, where we are tired, where it's like we're just barely making it up the hill or around the curve. And church, to have somebody come along beside you and start saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you've got this. That burst of reserve energy, church, that the Holy Spirit that would just swell up in us and would just keep us going. Because what does the Bible say? When we're weak, He is strong. And He is who we're relying on every day in church. And just as the Bible talks about here, such a large cloud of witnesses, all of these people that have been through things, that have accomplished things, that have said, hey, you know what? I didn't know where I was going. God told me to just head that way. He had shown me when I get there. And you know what? He did. Hey, I didn't know how God was going to bring the victory. He just told me to go up and do this, and I did it. Hey, I don't know how it was going to happen. God just said, go march around this wall 7 times once a day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, do it 7 times, blow trumpets and scream. I have never seen walls come down like that. But hey, you know what? It did. It did. Church, I want you to know that God is faithful to what He tells. God is faithful to His promises. He always has been. He always will be. He will never change on that. He will never change. Church, I know that it gets tiring. I know that sometimes it seems like the race is long. I'm telling you, when I seen those, a lot of times we would get there, we would see the guys run, we'd see the girls run, we'd see the different age groups run. And I didn't, to tell you the truth, I don't think I seen a one of them that come up that trail. That was just smiling and wasn't sweating and it was just enjoying the race. Church, I want to tell you something. When they come up, they were sweating. They were huffing and they were puffing. Life's not easy. And if anybody ever tells you that life is easy, I don't know where they got it from. It's because it's a family event. They are there to encourage us. We can make it. But also it tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Church, here's what I know. That the more stuff we try to carry, the slower we get. Extra weight slows us down and sin takes us off course. I can remember one time at my daughter's cross country meet that they left. And time came to where we should have started seeing some people. And we didn't. 10 more minutes passed, we still ain't seen nobody. 15 minutes passed, we still haven't seen nobody. So they went looking. And somewhere along the way, the course wasn't marked apparently appropriately or correctly, and they left the course. And to be honest, the way that they were going, they wasn't looking to be back soon. Extra weight slows us down, and sin takes us off course. And then it tells us, let us run with endurance. Church, last week I'd mentioned to you on one of the points I had was preparation leads to endurance. And so with that statement, I want us to look at this. It says, how did they prepare? Well, the first thing is that they looked at the ones that had gone before them. And they also looked at the amount, the number. Church, because believe it or not, that makes a difference. And then also, the ones that they looked at, the ones that had made it with God's help. And then here's another thing. You prepare yourself mentally that you can do this. Do you know that a majority of battles are won in the mind? That explains why our adversary, the way that he attacks us is he attacks our minds more than he does anything else. Because if he can get you to change your perception of things, if he can get you to change the way you think about things, then he's got you right where he wants you. You prepare yourself mentally that you can do this. I think that is why he says, look, he says, therefore we are compassed about with such a large cloud of witnesses. That way you can look and you can see in your mind, you can see each and every one that has gone on before that you can see, hey, they made it. Hey, God's faithful. You can prepare yourself in your mind for this. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church, there's many of us that's already defeated before we ever even get close to the battle. We can look at David and Goliath, and we look at Saul and all of the armies that was over there. Church, they never even approached Goliath, and they were already defeated because that's what they thought. They went into it saying, there is no way that any one of us can beat this guy. No way. Look how tall he is. Look at the armor that he's got. There's no way. Look at the spear and how big his shield is. There is no way we can beat this guy. And then God brings a little young teenager. A little young teenager. That comes in and says, hey, are y'all going to let this guy mock our God? And then, of course, the big older brother, he's like, yeah, I know why you're here. You're just here because to try and get the attention for yourself. But you know what? That didn't stop David. He says, look, he says, if y'all won't fight him, I will. Why? Because the battle is won or lost here. And what did David do? He grabbed his five stones and his sling and he ran out to meet the giant and he was victorious. Why? Because by faith. He trusted. Church, the things that we face along our life or in our life and along our race, Satan is going to try and make them seem larger than life. Why? Because he wants to stop you in your tracks. In fact, not only that, but he wants to push you backwards. But I'm going to tell you something, church, that God has already equipped us to face the battles that we are going to face. And we already have the victory. So we need to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to prepare ourselves mentally, but also you prepare yourself physically. See, because as he told us, as he basically told him, says, look at the great cloud of witnesses that surround you. But then also, what does he tell him? He says, lay aside every weight and sin. And the King James Version says that so easily besets us, that causes us to stumble, that causes us to fall, that causes us to slow down. You prepare yourself physically by getting rid of worldly baggage. Maybe it's past failures that we keep allowing to pop up in our mind. Again, we have to renew our mind. Church, we can't change anything that's behind us. All we can do is from this point forward change where the direction we're going or change what we're going to do. So get rid of worldly baggage and also repent of sin. And from that point forward, and we start the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. Church, and so as we see, again, the preparation that is taking place here, and then we look, and I think the most important part here is the keeping our eyes on Jesus. I seen a cartoon of an overweight man on a treadmill, and they had a stick hanging over him and had a string with a piece of pizza hanging on it, and man, he was sweating. He was racing. You have to admit, church, carrots don't do much nowadays. So we have to adjust and go with what works. And church, the thing is that if as we run, we can keep Jesus as the object of our desire. May our motivation be running toward Jesus with everything that is in us. Church, that as we are running this race, we can see Jesus right here, and we just keep reaching and keep reaching and keep going. Church, because the thing is that we have this victory, but Satan is always going to try and take away our focus. I look at Peter stepping out of the boat, and he's on the waves, and he's looking at Jesus, and he's walking. He's on top of the water. And then I see as he starts to look at the wind and the waves. Church, that's not anything that wasn't there before he stepped out of the boat. It was already there. But what's the difference? Where his eyes are focused. Where our eyes are focused. We allow the things of the world to change our focus, and it affects the outcome. So may our motivation be running toward Jesus with everything that is within us. And as I go to close this morning, for those of you that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to look at it this way. Since there are so many witnesses of God's goodness, forgiveness, and faithfulness surrounding you, lay aside your fondness of this world and what is in it. Also, the sin of unbelief that so easily traps, and surrender your life to Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. And let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. As we move into the time for invitation, church life ain't easy. But I'm going to tell you this, it's doable. That with God, we can do all things. Church, that He is there with us. Again, it goes back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, where it talks about the hall of faith, and he outlines different people that He has listed there: Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch. If you haven't read chapter 11, go back and read it and see. It says by faith, and it talks about all of these people. And church, by faith, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by faith you step out this morning. And you come to Jesus and you trust that He is who He says He is, that you trust He will do what He says He will do. Because again, there is such a great a cloud of witnesses around you, of people that can testify to God's faithfulness and His great love for you. If you're here and you're struggling and you just need prayer, we have plenty of places to pray, and people will come up and pray with you. If you want, I'll pray with you, or K-Mac will pray with you. Just whatever it is that the Lord is leading you to do today, I just want you to be faithful to Him. I just want you to be faithful to His leading, to His calling. If you would, please stand.